Welcome to another edition of Teaching Restored, where we are your weekly teacher council meeting. We get to talk about all the things about how to teach the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we love it. I'm Kevin Jones.
And I'm Julie Hilliard.
Hi, Julie.
Okay. You ready for this, Kevin?
I am.
Hey, you never know what we're going to talk about before we start talking about it. And
right.
So here we go. This is a little bit unique. Today, I'm just out of the gate going to say that we have a target audience.
Okay.
Our target audience today is a little bit unique. It's Sunday school presidents.
That is very unique. I did not expect that.
I knew you wouldn't expect that. That's part of what's fun about this. So I want to talk a little bit to Sunday school presidents today, and let me tell you why. So we in our ward have a Sunday school president who's just rad. And my husband's a bishop, and he said to my husband, I don't want to just be a bell ringer. And I mean, we all know what that means, right? So he is like, I want to do more. And this is a guy who loves to learn. And so he's been processing with the ward council some things that they might do to elevate the learning in our ward. So he's come up with some really great ideas, and one of them I'm involved in helping to implement. And so I'll get to that in just a second. But what I want to do is go into our gospel library for just a minute. And I actually did this in preparation for today because I wanted to make sure that I wasn't speaking out of turn and like recommending something that was a little bit rogue or maverick, you know, too maverick, so to speak. Because I'm right. A fan of Maverick, especially when Maverick is hot like Tom Cruise. I mean, no, sorry, digression. Anyway, what I was going to say is I'm cool with being a maverick, but I didn't want to go rogue. So I went to handbooks. So go to Handbooks and Callings. So go to your gospel library app. Handbooks and Callings,
mm-hmm.
Go to Ward or Branch Callings,
mm-hmm.
Go to Sunday School,
mm-hmm.
And then go to President.
Okay.
Now go down to Responsibilities. Okay. So first paragraph just basically says that the purpose of Sunday School is to help accomplish God's work of salvation and exaltation. It does this by helping God's children learn and live the gospel of Jesus Christ. So will you read the next paragraph, Kevin, that's under Sunday School Presidency?
The president is responsible for serving on the ward council, overseeing gospel learning and teaching at home and at church, and organizing classes. The president also supports, encourages, and instructs teachers to become more effective by following the principles in the scriptures and teaching in the Savior's way. His counselors assist him.
Okay. So does anything in that paragraph surprise you as being part of the calling? Maybe you're smarter than me.
So no, not smarter, but I think I know where you're going because
yeah?
maybe not, but it doesn't, this one thing I'm going to say doesn't surprise me, but I think it surprises a lot of people only because I've been through this is that they oversee the teaching and learning at home.
Yes.
Right.
That stuck out to me.
Right. And first time I read it, I was like, oh, wait a minute. The what? Sunday school president of the ward helps with the teaching at home. I thought they like your friend said, rang the bell. I thought.
Right. Right. And so I was like, oh, that's kind of surprising. So that's a springboard. We're going to go to that point in just a minute. I just wanted to like emphasize it
good.
For a second.
Okay.
So then I thought, well, what does that really mean? So now I kept reading. So I looked at Sunday classes
mm-hmm.
and you know, that made sense to me, right? They're responsible for
yes.
Sunday classes and talk specifically about Sunday school classes in here. Then it talks about home-centered learning and
mm-hmm.
it talks about the role of Sunday school teachers, encouraging members. So parents are responsible for teaching the gospel to their children. Sunday school teachers and leaders encourage members to seek their own inspiration about how to study and teach the gospel in their homes. And I'm like, oh, so he's just an encourager is what I thought.
Okay.
Keep going. So then there's this teacher council meetings.
Mm-hmm.
And you and I have talked about this before. Fantastic, right? And that makes
yes.
sense to me. You meet with all of the teachers, people that teach in the ward, and you help train them. You help make sure that they have what they need, if there are any things that they're struggling with, any resources that they might need or be lacking. Great. Now look down. Teacher council meetings for parents. How rad is this? Do you want to read that paragraph?
Yes. Under the direction of the bishop and ward council, the Sunday school president helps organize teacher council meetings for parents. These meetings follow the same format and frequency as regular teacher council meetings, but in this case, parents are invited to attend. The purpose is to help parents become better teachers in their homes. Teaching in the Savior's Way, the booklet, and the introductory materials in Come Follow Me should be used as resources.
Okay. So as I look at this, it made my mind kind of go, and what else? Okay. So if you think about the role of a Sunday school president going back up, has to do with teaching and learning. So gospel learning, both at church and in the home.
Right.
And I thought about different types of gospel learning that that could include. And part of where my mind went was to this whole idea of, well, wait a minute, there could be teacher council meetings for parents, basically helping parents figure out how to be better gospel teachers in the home. And I started to think about, I mean, they even tell you what curriculum to use. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, wow, I could see that class being absolutely phenomenal, because what parent, myself included, doesn't need help in this regard? Like, we are all struggling. Mm-hmm. Right. So that is one specific... Let me try that again.
Rewind.
That is one suggestion that I would like to put out to Sunday school presidents, that we begin to explore what types of gospel learning opportunities exist in our wards and in our homes. And one of those specifically, I think, is how to help parents better teach the gospel of Jesus Christ within the four walls of their own home.
Yes.
So this is where I want to go. I think that there are a lot of other great opportunities for learning. And that's kind of what our Sunday school president said. And one of the things that they, as a ward council, decided, so this is, I'm going to give some specific suggestions, but then I want you and I to kind of brainstorm just a little bit too.
Great.
One of the things that they, as a ward council, talked about is the importance of strengthening marriages. That, you know, a lot of the issues that we face in society right now are super challenging and, unfortunately, you know, target the family. And so if there are things that we can do preventatively to help strengthen marriages, we have the, you know, blessing of being able to also strengthen our families at large. And we all know that society is literally like made up of families. And so we strengthen society and we can have an impact in our communities as we start in our own home to work on that. And so as a ward council, they decided that they wanted to hold a marriage class. And they specifically wanted to focus on having better communication in marriages. So I was called to teach that class. And I want to just give a little bit of information about their idea and what we're doing in hopes that it will springboard us into a couple of other ideas. I know that it's springboarded into one other in our ward that I'll share in just a minute. And then let's talk a little more. Great. Does that sound okay, Kevin?
Yep.
To be thinking of what other types of gospel learning might be made available based on the needs within your own ward family. And obviously based on inspiration that collective ward councils might receive. And so Sunday school president is a member of that ward council, so it feels like an appropriate forum for it. And what types of ideas you might bring to the ward council that could help to meet some of those needs. So this is intended to be a springboard type of a podcast to just kind of plant some seeds.
Good.
Okay, so back to this marriage class for just a second. And this is part of, I want you to get out your phone again, and we're going to go back to the gospel library. So when I was called to do this, to teach this marriage class, part of it is because they knew that my passion is around communication. And it's something that I've studied. It's something that I've, you know, done some work with professionally. And so I think that that was part of it. You know, it was not nepotism. It wasn't my husband calling me to do this. I promise you, it was the Sunday school president making the recommendation, just so that anybody doesn't think, oh, wow, what are you trying to do? Take over the ward? But it was really like, I am so jazzed about this calling. And what we decided to do is look at, there's a resource for strengthening marriages in the Gospel Library that I was completely unaware of. So let's if look. You go to the library mm-hmm. and go to Books and Lessons, mm-hmm. did you see that?
Yep.
Okay, and then go down to Family Resources. Mm-hmm. So there's a whole bunch of resources here, and there's one that says Strengthening Marriage. And there's an instructor's guide, and there's a resource guide for couples. Mm-hmm. And then there's also a Strengthening the Family course. Mm-hmm. And so when you go into this and you start looking at the curriculum, it's actually pretty intense. And there is more curriculum in here than you could ever teach in like a short period of time. And so what we decided to do logistically is in our ward to have like six couples at a time go through the course as a second hour course. And we would do it for 4 weeks in a row. And so they would basically be excused from any callings that they had second hour. And the responsibility of the Sunday school president is to actually find people to fill the gap that they create. So they are freed up. Sunday school president removes that obstacle so that they're able to go to this class. And then one of the things that they did to help remove the obstacle is that they actually called someone as kind of a substitute. Mm. And so
sure.
she, that's her calling. And so every week she anticipates going in and substituting for someone. And so that logistically helps to remove that obstacle. And then they go for 4 weeks in a row. And then we have a dessert date night just before to kind of kick it off and lay the groundwork for it. But what is contained in this curriculum is way more than you would ever be able to do in that time frame. And so we took specifically the sessions that dealt with communicating more effectively.
Great.
And so when we did this and we put it together and we referenced this, I learned a little bit more. And this is intended to be taught like as a 12-week course. And so, I mean, there are obviously a number of ways that you could do that. So as a Sunday school president, you are not, if you are not limited to only the gospel learning that takes place on Sunday, you know, the world is your oyster. Like you can figure out exactly how to apply something like that. And as I started to teach this and we're on session two right now. So this is a brand new initiative. We've gotten some feedback from the people in session one as to things we need to do differently. And their primary feedback is it needs to be longer. And so we're trying to figure out ways to create more time. And so the reason that I bring this up is because as you start to go through some of these, what you also will realize is that there are other types of courses like this that we actually have curriculum for. I know that my parents, eons ago, because they're so old, just kidding, used to teach a parenting class. Mm-hmm. And it was on Fridays and it was 10 weeks. And they said it was amazing.
Yeah.
And I thought, wow, that is so cool. Wouldn't that be amazing? So anyway, it kind of got me thinking along those lines just a little bit. So there is a Strengthening Families one. There is also the marriage one. And then look, you'll see families and temples in here as well. Well, that springboarded me into another idea. And this is something that our ward does also, a temple prep class. Mm-hmm. And so I know that our stake does one for seniors in high school. And we replicate that in our ward for those that have received their mission calls or are coming, you know, they're seniors and getting ready to be mission age. Another idea would be a temple course for adults, because there mm-hmm. are all kinds of resources that we don't necessarily go and dig into on our own that are available on the church's website about temples. And what a great opportunity to create some dialogue and enthusiasm around our temple worship and getting our ward more united in worshiping at the temple together and learning. You know, we learn of God's ways in the temple. If we can be more motivated to seek higher learning in that way, what a great opportunity to do that as a ward, right?
Right.
So there we go. That's just like, I'm trying to get a few ideas rolling. I have one more I'll share, but I want to turn it over to you for a second, Kevin. Just okay. What are some of the thoughts that are coming to your mind as I'm describing this and throwing these things out?
So the first thought stems off of the comment you made about how your parents used to do this marriage. Was it a marriage class or a family class?
Parenting class.
Parenting yeah. class mm-hmm. on Fridays And this was years ago, right? Mm-hmm. So we in our stake have gotten away from anything like that. Like far away from that. And I believe others have as well. But maybe we need to re-explore doing things just on Sundays. And we need to go outside of, and we need to think about Fridays. We need, that pulls away possibly, but if you can't do it, then that's okay. You can't do it. Great.
Don't do it. Yeah.
But right. Yeah. We're all adults. We can make decisions like that. Right. So what if
this is not required for your membership?
I know. Whoa. Mike, your temple recommend. Yes. One more. I'm going to add one more question. You
want to? Yeah, exactly.
Right, but those who can and those who want to, great. And maybe one time you do it on a, or, you know, it, whatever it is, but on a Friday night, then you do a Saturday morning, and then you do a Tuesday afternoon. I don't know. I'm making things up, but they don't always have to be the same. But I think we can start thinking out of the box of what we've regularly have been doing logistically. I think we can spice it up a little bit that way.
Do you think we limit ourselves a little bit because we just kind of go along with what's always been done?
Yeah. And that's
like, if you,
a lot of the culture, right? I mean, the culture that we, that, you know, in our stake or in someone else's stake or in a ward, this is how we do it. I remember, oh my goodness. Just as an example, I was, when I used to work at NASA, they said, this is how you do it.
Yeah.
And I said, why? And they're like, because that's how you do it. And I'm like, yeah, but no. And I did it some other way and people would freak out. And then, and they say, you can't do that. I say, well, show me where it says you can't. And no one could ever. And it's the same thing, right? Okay. Let's do it this way in the church. Okay. No, you can't because we have never done it that way. That's against the rules. Oh yeah, it's against the handbook. Show me in the handbook where. It doesn't say that. That's right. So maybe we should start really thinking about taking the things that are more cultural and exploding them and trying something new.
So, you know, what's interesting when you said that, I thought, you know, I did a gut check myself before bringing this subject up by going into the handbook. And what I found was that the handbook, in my interpretation of it, actually seems to encourage more than just the bell ringing that we typically associate the Sunday school president's calling with. Like, I felt that vibe, that spirit of you are responsible for the overall gospel learning of the people in your ward. That is a huge responsibility.
It is. Yeah. Huge, huge.
Like, what an important, I mean, I almost am like, that is such an important calling. That it just makes my mind explode with all of the possibilities. And so I feel like even describing it that way and giving it that kind of an overarching purpose is an invitation to do more.
Okay. So let me I'm going to go out of the scope just a little bit of what you said, ward Sunday school presidents. And let's talk about stake Sunday school presidents.
Same.
Right, what can they do, right, to help the ward Sunday school presidencies?
Right. I mean, could some of these things actually be done on a stake level? Mm-hmm. Heck yes. Like how, if we talk about trying to increase unity in our wards and expand the stakes of Zion and invite more people into it, why couldn't some of these things actually be missionary opportunities where we invite members of the community to come and participate in a parenting class, in a marriage communication class, in maybe not the temple class, because that could get a little awkward. But do you know what I mean? Like, there are so many learning opportunities that might not be like from the scriptures, but are still like strengthening families, parenting, etc., but are still so gospel centric and appropriate to the overarching mission of what the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is all about. And what a non kind of like a low barrier to entry opportunity to invite members of our community to come and see and to participate and to learn more about us.
Okay. Let me throw one thing in there that you made me think of. This is so good. We think of the bishop as the father of our ward and the members.
I know when you say that, church. I have this friend. I have this friend who's always like, then you're the mother of the ward.
You're the mother,
the matriarch. And I'm like, oh my gosh, what just happened? You can see the repulsion on my face of this, like, okay, anyway, sorry, keep going.
That was not a calling that was extended, I don't think. But, you know, no, I don't know, maybe goodness. In your word.
No, I don't like that. It made me laugh really hard, though, because I never thought of it.
So, we see the bishop as the father of the ward and having responsibility and accountability over the members of the ward. And actually, what it is, it's not members of the ward. It's the people within the geographic area of the ward, member or not. So yes. If we translate that to the Sunday school president, then might it, going to exactly what you were saying, right? What if we open those up to the community, the members mm-hmm. of our ward, whether they're members of the church or not, but the members of our ward, whoever lives in that geographic area or maybe even beyond, but bring them right. in and say, hey, welcome. We're doing this class. How would that change things if we all thought of our callings, talking Sunday school present specific, but calling, and thought about it on that level rather than just a members of the church level?
Well, and don't you think that this specific calling lends itself to some really cool opportunities related to that? Because, like, I think ward mission leader, you know, that's very natural. Like, yes, that's a natural extension of what his calling is. It's almost in the calling itself. But with some of these other ones, like the Relief Society president, the Elders' Quorum president, but specifically the Sunday School president, because he has such a targeted responsibility related to gospel learning, I can see so many amazing things that could be done within the scope of that calling, within the keys that he holds for that calling to involve members of our community in that learning.
So I see you get so excited about this, Julie. I see you come up with these ideas like, oh, right? Do we think of our Sunday school presidents as that?
No, but this is the thing. This guy in my ward is blowing my mind. Like, I'm just so, like,
good
I'm
job,
so
brother guy in the ward.
I know I could say his name, but then I don't want to.
That's okay. That's okay. No, I think that's great though. I'm so excited that someone can see that and go for it on that level. That's impressive.
Right. Right. So, Kay, talk to me about more options, opportunities like this. Like, so let me list the ones that I've said so far, because I think that, like I said, I want this to be a springboard podcast. Like, I don't want this isn't intended to be take notes and because I even thought about as I was putting this together, I'm like, would there be value in outlining what we've decided to do for ours? Like, would it be valuable for me to share slides and resources and how I've pulled the curriculum together? And, you know, this is a teaching podcast. And so maybe at some point, if there was interest, something like that would be appropriate, but I'm not in curriculum development for the church by any means. And so what I've done is taken what the church has, and then I've kind of married it to some of what I know from my own experience, and then really tried to put something together that would work in the amount of time that we have. Mm-hmm. One tangent, just really, really fast, because I forgot to say it earlier. One of the things that surprised me in doing this is once we got into it, how willing people were to spend extra time to participate. So that tells us something. I don't think that our ward is unique, but it tells us something about people's kind of hunger and thirst for this type of experiential learning. Like, we talk about it all the time, how important it is to take what we learn about the gospel of Jesus Christ and translate it into action and figure out how to apply it in our own lives. And so when we're talking about something like a marriage class, like a parenting class, like a teacher council meeting for parents, we can actually teach skills. Like, it's not just principles, though the principles are the most important part of it, but we don't often, within our Sunday school settings, get the opportunity to teach a skill and give people the chance to practice that skill. And I think that some of what they're hungry for is that type of opportunity.
And so, down dirty, get into it stuff is what you're talking about.
Exactly. Yeah. So, like, I have people in this marriage class sit knee to knee with their spouse, basically, and have a conversation about something and try out a skill that we've just introduced. And then they have homework that they do every week. And then what we ended up doing is getting through the curriculum. And then they're like, okay, we don't feel done. Like, we need more. And so they came over to my house and we sat on the back deck one night and in my family room another night and just had groups of like three couples at a time where we took on their specific issues where they were getting tripped up and started to practice it and practiced messing up and then correcting ourselves. Like, that's when the learning actually happens. When you take the skill that you feel like you've learned in your brain and then you try it and you realize that you stink at it. And then you're like, oh crud, this is way harder than I thought. 99% of skills work like that. And so if we take things and internalize them related to gospel principles, and we never actually put in the effort, I mean, this is why repentance exists, to practice applying it in our own lives, then we lose out on the learning. And so this is a great opportunity to actually get hands-on and help people elevate their own ability to practice some of these skills, to use them in their daily living and make them habits.
Yes. Okay. So you made me just think of something right there. What is the definition of learning?
I don't know.
Oh, right. I mean, so, okay, we could take this from the number.
Knowing not to do is simply not to know. Like, to learn something, you actually have to do it and apply it, and it has to become part of you.
And that's it. If the Sunday school president is in charge of learning, it's not just talking at, right?
Yeah.
It's not just holding a class. It's actually doing, messing up, correcting, doing better, learning skills, possibly even like you said, right? It's just not learning content. So how can the Sunday school president go beyond a classroom learning to we need to learn skills and how to do those skills, which involve a lot more than just a classroom.
Amen. Okay, that's so brilliant, Kevin. Because if you think about it, what it would have said, you are responsible for the gospel knowledge.
Right.
Like,
true.
That people have. No, it says learning.
Mm-hmm.
So it means that you're like, we got to make sure the water gets to the end of the row. And sometimes our job isn't just to put information in, which is, I think, how we look at learning, right? We look at it as putting information in.
Yes.
Our job is to help people figure out how that information translates to action.
Yes.
Because again, and I'm going to say it, and I know this, when you said what's learning definition, I went, uh-oh. But really the way that I describe it the most is to know and not to do is really not to know.
Yeah.
And so we can't forget the doing part of all of this. And that if you looked at your calling as that, like, oh my gosh, so different. You can do so many things differently, right?
Correct. And I think a lot of that happens in the home, right? We may learn something at church, then we come home and we practice it, but it's on a family level, which is not bad, which is really ideal overall.
Right.
But at the same time, let me give you a quick example. We've done this a few times where we have said, hey, youth in our ward, who wants to come over and do a missionary activity? And a lot of them said, yeah, I want to go do it. And we say, great, go study this part of preaching.
Preach
my gospel. Go study this part. You're going to teach it and come dressed as a missionary. Great. And then we have all these youth come to our house, and then we have set up in different rooms of our house their parents or friends or you know, other people of the ward who are mock someone. You know, you're coming into a situation where they are from a different country, they don't understand God, and then this one, they're less active members, or et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And you have to go in and teach this principle. And they understand the gospel, but when they had to explain it, they're like, and explain it in different contexts. Holy cow, that helped them realize that I need to dive in a little bit more and understand how to, this is a lot more than just the knowledge. I've got to really learn this. And it was, I mean, a Sunday school, not saying, you know, this is a great idea and you have to do it, but a Sunday school presidency could put together something like that for the youth, where they're actually going and using it, not just learning, but they're using it and learning from their experiences.
Yes, I love that so much. So in my new calling, I have a new calling on the Communications Council for our stake. Mm-hmm. And in preparation for the temple, that's going to be coming, one of the initiatives that we feel excited about is helping the members. And you and I have talked about this, Kevin, because you're gonna help us, right? That we want the members of our ward to, or our stake, excuse me, to feel so confident explaining things related to the temple and answering questions that they might get from people in our community, that there is no hesitation. And I think that the only way to get people to that level of confidence where A, they're not rattled by opposing opinions. Mm-hmm. They're not ruffled by someone else's maybe defensiveness or even, you know, aggression, not aggression, but, you know, like a little bit kind of strong reactions to them. And they feel like they can give a humble, thoughtful, solid response to people. And as I think we talked about this in a previous podcast, that kind of confidence comes from knowledge, right? That comes from experience and being practiced in that skill. And then you can kind of stand confident and firm and not be rattled and ruffled, versus when you are in a place of fear, you have this like need to control the situation. And so when people come at you with questions that might feel adversarial, you are trying to be so strong in your response that sometimes you overcompensate and can hurt the relationship, or you actually, to control the situation, might retreat from the situation because being in it makes you feel uncomfortable. And so we want to help the members of our stake get to this place over here where they're super confident. And the way that we feel like we need to do that is by giving them a chance to actually say it out loud. And so we're going to do something like that, where we give people, youth, adults, et cetera, the opportunity to gather and practice, answering questions, articulating principles related to the temple, et cetera. And it's because, like you said, when it's here, that's great, but you have to make it natural. You have to get it out of your mouth and explain it for it to actually breed that confidence in you. You don't realize how hard something is until you've actually tried it and tested it and experienced it for yourself. Right?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. You know, one of the questions that someone wrote in, and we're going to talk about this a little later on in another episode, but they wrote in and said something along the lines, and I can pull it up, but it was something along the lines of I'm going to mess this up, but it's not that they want to make people uncomfortable, but they want to help people be uncomfortable enough that they realize that, oh, I shouldn't be comfortable where I'm at. I need to be a little bit more. And so the question was along the lines of, how far is that line almost, right? How much do I make them uncomfortable, and how uncomfortable is too far? And I mean, which was a fabulous question. I loved it because I love making people uncomfortable. It is so, it is professionally, it is my job to make people uncomfortable.
It's true. But when you put it that way, I'm like, oh my gosh.
It sounds horrible, right?
Nobody's going to want to be your friend.
Nobody wants to be my friend. I know. That's why I don't have any friends except for you guys. Right.
But yeah, I know. We got suckered in.
Yeah. But really, we for us to want to get out of the comfortable place that we're in, we have to feel somewhat uncomfortable and realize, oh, I've got to do that. And what you're talking about, putting people in those situations of saying, okay, now articulate it. Mm-hmm. Oh, ow, that hurts. Yeah. That was so bad, right? I mean, how many times have you and I gone through that of trying to articulate something and say, wow, I just messed that up big time. That did not come out of my mouth the way I thought about it in my brain.
You mean like I had to hit rewind a little bit earlier mentally? You're
just like that. Yes. Just like that. Should we review that? Okay, should we go back and splice that into this piece again?
Splice it in as an example. It's great. Thanks for that. So reiterate what you're saying with an example from this marriage class. So, you know, when we talk about right. Sunday school presidents, considering things where people could actually practice a skill, right? Mm-hmm. So one of the things that I shared with everybody is that, you know, Stephen Covey used to get up in front of these huge audiences of very, very educated people, and he would teach them a skill, and then he would invite someone to come up and actually practice the skill with them. And 100% of the time, they would mess up. 100% mm-hmm. sure. of the time. And ironically, the example that he would almost always use had to do with their kid. And it's somehow like people glitch more when it comes to things that they're going to do with their children, right? Like, yeah. So that would happen. And so I explained that to everybody in the marriage class. And then they started trying to practice. And then they pulled me in and say, okay, wait a minute, we're getting stuck here. And I was like, yes, this is our moment. This is when the real learning happens. And everybody in the class tried to participate in helping them to get unstuck. And so we all got stuck together. Like I let them get stuck. Right. And that's it was great. Amazing. And then we could talk about alternatives to help us get unstuck. Like it just, everybody would try and mess up. And the more they'd try, they'd be like, I don't know. And feeling that kind of, actually creates in us humility and receptivity to an alternative. That's and so great. It's a really great way to learn. If you think about it, the principles of the gospel that mean the most to you are the principles that you've been desperate for, mm-hmm. right? When you're going through something super hard in your life and you kind of get a taste of this peace that surpasseth all understanding, you're like, oh, I'm so desperate for that. And it just, you come to understand the atonement better and you come to know the Savior better and stuff because you've experienced that for yourself. Well, the same thing is kind of true as you're applying these different skills that you get, wait, I really am not good at this. And that moment is the springboard for growth for you. And so being able to take people to it and to answer that question that whoever it was wrote in, giving them an ulcer is too far.
Oh, it is?
Too far.
How about a heart yes. attack?
Heart attack too far.
I've done even that before. Say,
hope you're
that's another
right
story.
Now. I'm stuck. I can't get past it. Legit?
Legit. No. It was, well, we had testing.
It just happened to be a heart attack?
He happened to have a heart attack during a test of what we trained some people on one time. Yeah. And he had a heart attack I'm just going to say this anyways, just because it's kind of funny. As we were helping him and we were calling 911 and goes, I have 7 other brothers and they all died of a heart attack. And I thought, oh, he's a goner. He's a goner. But he lived, thankfully. Anyways, sorry.
You're right. I just couldn't move on.
Heart attack, ulcers, too far.
Too far.
Too far.
But a little bit of like self-realization, that's a sweet spot.
Right.
Right?
I like it.
Okay. So sorry, I feel like we could totally get off on that. Like keep going with that. But so I want to kind of just bring it home. What I'm really, really hoping that people get out of today, Sunday school presidents specifically, is a desire to seek inspiration themselves and bring their thoughts and ideas to the ward council to discuss additional learning, not just information, but learning opportunities for the members of their ward. And if you're a stake Sunday school president, members of their stake. That's and so cool. I would encourage people to look at the gospel library for ideas, all of the different resources that we just have not even tapped into can help us to kind of get our minds flowing. And I do think that when we are seeking for that type of inspiration with that type of intention in our minds, our eyes will be opened to see the needs of people more clearly in our space, because that's really what we're doing. We're trying to meet needs that exist. We're not trying to create something so that we can create an opportunity to do something cool. We are trying to meet needs. And so figure out what those needs are. And I do believe that we can be inspired to have our eyes opened and have those things revealed to us when we're in a space of seeking that type of inspiration.
I like that because it's a, being a questions guy, and I love good questions, rather than saying, how can I help so-and-so teach better? Let's go back a step and say, what are the needs of the parents? How many Sunday school presidents have polled the parents and said, what do you need?
Right.
What are you struggling with? What's getting under, you know, what's making it really difficult for you to teach within your family? I bet you if you ask the Sunday school presidents, 99% won't know.
Right.
They won't know.
But get a pulse, right?
Right. But we need to learn. We need to be asking the right questions. It's not just how can I help? It's okay. What do they need? Like you said, go back to the needs every yep. single time, right? And then right. start asking different questions than we've asked before about how we might do this. And we might just mm-hmm. get different answers when we do it.
When we ask different questions, we might get different answers.
Wait a minute. Yeah. Because what does a Sunday school president do, Julie? They ring the bell, right? That is the answer.
Kevin, did you learn nothing from this podcast?
Oh.
What does a Sunday school president do now?
Did I miss the whole discussion we just had?
You missed it. Just kidding. I'm totally kidding.
I love it. Well, thank you. Oh, boy. I've got so many ideas swirling in my head right now.
Me too.
I know. Okay. So asking different questions and I'm going to have to go back and ask different questions as I re-listen to this again. My wife is going to... Because my wife listens to all of the podcasts.
She's such a good wife.
She's so good. Hope she comes back with even more and says, okay, we can do this, we can do that. And you don't have to be Sunday school president to suggest things either.
Right, right. Totally. I agree with that. I think that I prefaced it with Sunday school presidents, but really you can make recommendations in your own ward, right? You can yeah. be a member of the ward council and do the same thing.
Yes. Definitely. So go make recommendations. Go find ways to learn more than we are just typically learning from what our culture does. So good. Thank you, Julie. Appreciate it. And if you would, go share, subscribe, make a comment. If you would, in the podcast, leave a comment, a rating, all that good stuff that helps others who are searching for this kind of material to become better teachers as well, to find us and then keep going. And as always, ask a question. We'd be happy to answer it online, on air. Well, it's not quite on air, but...
Whatever this is.
In this way. Thanks, yeah. everyone. Take care. Bye.